We're holding to Zion on the left coastline of the medium sized lines. The Mishnah said, call him a stack of a dollar devoted. Anybody who contemplates, and a stack of literally means gazes at. So a person who gazes at or contemplates four things, which we said are malamaila malamata, what is above and below the, what is above and below the universe, what is above and below the Nivroim that Hashem created, malafonim malachar, we said what was before and what was in the back, which we said in the Mishnah that Rashi, there was Rashi and then there was a Tosfos within Rashi that had two possibilities, and so the regular Tosfos also discusses. Does it mean what was before and does it mean what's behind each side of the Rakia, of the sky, the space that surrounds the earth? So does it mean, in other words, spatially, what's before and behind? Or does it mean what's before and what's after, what existed before Hashem created the world and what is going to exist after it? Anyway, so we said in the Mishnah, anybody who contemplates those four things, it would be rachmanas on him if he hadn't come into the world, because these kinds of contemplations and thoughts are likely to bring him to thoughts of apikorsis. So the Gemara says, v'shlema malamayla malamata malachor l'chaya. I can understand. The person is asking about what's above the Chayis HaKodesh and what's below them. So above them is Hashem's throne, Kaviyachol, and Atmos Mahus. So malamata and what's behind and what's below, meaning what's below the earth. In particular, we talked about the other day the idea that the whole world, the whole universe, is supported, so to speak, by the arm of Hashem. So what are you going to say? What's below that? Like what supports Hashem? That would lead a person to apikorsis. So we can understand that. And malachor, and what's going to be after the world ceases to exist. Also lachaye, I can understand what the problem with all those things. Elephonim, but what's the problem with asking what existed before the world? Madahabahaba, what was, what's the difference? If you contemplate what was there or not. So Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Loza, the Amitavayu, so Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Loza both say, Moshal Melech Bosav Adam, it's like a Melech Bosav Adam, Sha'omalavodav, he tells his servants, Bnuli Paltrin Gerlin ala Ashba, go build me a big palace on top of the garbage heap. So obviously they have to clear away the garbage heap and then they build the palace. So the king doesn't want that in the future people should say this palace was built on top of that garbage. It's disrespectful. And the same way, in other words, you're going to talk about what there was or wasn't, as the case may be, before the world, then it's like you're mentioning the garbage that was there before, which is not respectful to Hashem. Now, Marsha points out, I mean, the world was created yesh me'ayin, so it's not really exactly the same thing as over there. There was a garbage heap, and then we're saying instead that was cleared away to build the world. Here we're not talking about there was an actual garbage heap, because yesh me'ayin, but nevertheless, you're going to start thinking about the ayin, and it's still a bit of a zilzal in Hashem. You're going to start thinking that there wasn't an ayin, that there actually did exist something there before the world was created. There's a couple of other explanations as well, one of them being that we're talking about, that Ramban talks about in his Pirush on Chumash, the idea that there was, Hashem created what's called Chomer Hiyuli, like a primordial stuff, matter, from which he then created the whole world. So you start thinking about what that was, and it's not something that we can understand with our senses, because we're only familiar with matter that's formed into something. So a person is going to end up thinking about that and start coming up with wrong ideas about what existed before the world, and maybe Hashem himself was created, Chas v'Shalom, or maybe there was another, maybe the world has always existed, like some Greek philosophers thought, et cetera, et cetera. So these are dangerous kinds of things. So therefore, a person is not supposed to do that. There's an interesting idea, actually, that Moshe Feinstein brings about this in his Chidushim on this Masechta. He says the idea is also like this. How do we realize the greatness of Hashem? So we can realize by the fact that Hashem created Yesh Me'ayin. But we have much better ways of realizing the greatness of Hashem. We talked about before all the malachim that serve Hashem, and you can realize how great they are compared to us, and therefore how great Hashem is, that he's far beyond them. We can look at the natural world that the Eibishter created and see how well it functions and everything and learn the greatness of Hashem from that. So for a person to say, well, I can't be bothered. The Malachim, big deal. The Nivroim, big deal. You know what I'm impressed about, that Hashem created the world, Yesh Me'ayin. So it shows a lack of respect for Hashem. Like as if that's the only thing that we can credit Hashem for. Okay.
On the other hand, you can question why did Hashem create the world the way he did it, that he gave us the perception that we understand that he is omnipresent everywhere. He could have created a world like a box and we wouldn't even have any idea of what really the there is a world.
Fair enough. I mean, Hashem could have done it all kinds of ways. I mean, ultimately, we know that Sava HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bias Legitimate Chatonim. So Hashem created a world where Elokus is concealed almost to the ultimate degree. That's what we said the other day, that Hashem had to say, Sha'om Eloi Lomid Dai, that Hashem had to say, enough, there's enough Tzimtzumim. The world is now at a point where, on the one hand, Elokus is concealed, but on the other hand, where it can be revealed within our world. And then that's the world where Hashem wants us.
And how do you know there's Elokus in this world?
How do we know there's Elokus in the world? I mean, we can see there are things that scream Elokus to us. You look at the Achetz.
That's what I'm saying. That's Hashem designed them on purpose. So we should know that he is the creator. But he could have created the world in a way that we wouldn't notice even there's a creator.
That's true. And that's the point. In other words, that's what we mean when we say Sha'om Eloi Lomai Dai, that Hashem stopped that continuous tzimtzumim at a certain point, because otherwise the world would be otherwise the existence of Hashem would be completely impossible for us to discover. Indeed, yeah.
So there is truth in the fact that he created the world the way it is, and that it's good for us to try and seek to understand what the world is about.
The Mishnah is warning us is there's a certain point beyond which you can't go. That's what we had before in the story of Rabbi Akiva and the four Chachamim, where Rabbi Akiva realized how far he can go, whereas the other Chachamim did not. So yeah, that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Delve in as much as you can with the brain that the Eibishter gave you and with the things in Torah that the Eibishter gave us to understand these things, but realize there's a point beyond which you're not going to be able to penetrate.
We're not talking about space and science, are we here?
So ruchnistic realities as well. I mean, we talk about, you know, ultimately, for example, let's say there was a tzimtzum, Oliver Tzoynei Akoshet, that it came up in the Eibishter's simple will to create a world, and we can delve into, and thousands of pages of Chassidus talk about what the nature of Rotzin is and why Hashem wanted the world and so forth. But ultimately, you know, wherever we go, we ultimately come up against something that this is the way the Eibishter wanted it, and that's it. Even, for example, that Rotzin, we talk about that Rotzin is something that only if you're the Baal HaRotzin himself can you understand that, and we're not. As they wrote about in Sifrei Chakira, and therefore there comes a point when there comes a point beyond which we can't ask why did Hashem have this Rotzin and why did Hashem do such and such. Ultimately, the answer has to be Loi Mashav Oisem Ashkezechem. That's what we're saying. We go as far as we can with that, but we have to know that there's a point at which we have to stop. All right, let's go on. The Mishnah said, Kol Shalei Chos Al Kvod Koinei, anybody who does not have regard for the covet of Hashem, Rosu Lo Shalei Bala Olam, it would have been a Rachmanos on him if he hadn't come into the world. So Mayhi, what do we mean by not having covet for Hashem, not caring about Hashem's covet? Rab Abba Omer Zamestach Bakeshes. Rab Abba says that this refers to somebody who looks at or gazes at the rainbow. The rainbow, we said before, is used as a metaphor in the pasuk for the appearance of Hashem's Shechina, and therefore, as actually Gemara is going to quote it now, and therefore, a person who looks at the rainbow is showing a lack of regard for the covet of Hashem. So that's one. There is actually a sicha where the Rebbe talked about the idea behind that is that. the rainbow, if you contemplate the rainbow too much, you're going to start thinking, this is an example of what we're talking about Hashem's thinking. Before the Mabul, Hashem was ready to say that, before the Mabul, Hashem was saying, I'm going to destroy the whole world and all of humanity because of what they're doing. After the Mabul, we're saying, Hashem is saying, I'm willing to give them a chance. What causes that Hashem should change that kind of thing? That kind of thing is showing a bit of a lack of respect for Hashem, as if like we can understand how Hashem thinks before and after. So that's one. Rabbi Yosef on the Zel Oiv Avera Basese. Rabbi Yosef says that it refers to somebody who does an Avera in secret, because like he's showing as if like I'm not going to do it in public because I'm afraid of what people are going to say, but I'm going to do it in secret because I don't care that Hashem sees me. So Mistakov HaKeshes, why would somebody who looks at the rainbow be showing a lack of respect for Hashem? Dichtiv Kemare HaKeshes Hashi'iya Ba'onan B'yem HaGoshem. As the Pasuk says, like the appearance of the rainbow that appears in the clouds on a rainy day, Kein Mare HaNoga Saviv, that was a semblance of the glory around Hashem. Hu Mare Dmus Kvod Hashem, this is the appearance of the image of the glory of Hashem. So therefore, the rainbow is like, to a certain extent, the semblance of Hashem's Shekhinah, and therefore it's disrespectful to look at it at length. You look at it briefly to make the bracha, but you don't stare at it. Rav Yosef HaMazal Oiva Avera Basesa. Rav Yosef says it refers to somebody who does an Avera in secret. Kidd Rav Yitzchak, and that would be like what Rav Yitzchak said. The Omer Rav Yitzchak, Kala Oiva Avera Basesa, anybody who is over an Avera in secret is as if he's pushing away the feet of the Shekhinah. Shenema, Koyama Hashem, Hashem says, Hashemayim Kisi, Va'oretz Adrem Ragloi, the heavens are my throne, the earth is my footstool. The Shekhinah doesn't have feet, of course not, but we talk about Hashem in human terms, and what it means is, in other words, that we can talk about that the world is like the lowest thing relative to Hashem, like the feet are the lowest part relative to the body, and therefore, in other words, when a person is doing an Aveda in secret, it's like as if he's saying Hashem is not here. Hashem is the Shekhinah is not here, and the earth is like the footstool, so to speak, where the Shekhinah's feet rest, and therefore it's like he's saying the Shekhinah is not here to see what I'm doing. I can do whatever I want. So therefore he's not showing respect for Hashem by doing that. So the Gemara says, "Eini, is that so?" The Amr of Ila Hazaken, Im Roya Adam Sheyitzu Misgaber Olav. If a person sees that his Yetzahara is overpowering him, Yelach L'Mokum Shein Makirinoi. So he should learn to mow cotton as well. He should go to a place where they don't recognize him. The Yuba Shchurin V'Yisatif Shchurin. He should wear black clothes and wrap himself in black clothes. In those times, that was a simon of avelus and of humility. The Yasa Masha Libe Chopetz, and then do whatever he wants, rather than making a Chilul Hashem by doing the Aveira in public. Now, we learned in Moed Katan, and over here also Tosfos talks about, there's two ways of understanding what the Gemara is saying. Is Rabbi Ila Hazokin saying that at that point you're allowed to do the Aveira? So Tosfos brings from Aben Chanano, that absolutely not. Of course not. No, you don't never have permission to do an Aveda. What it means is, once the person does that, he goes to some place where nobody knows him and he wears black clothes like that, then we can be pretty well certain that he's not going to do Avedas anymore because his heart is humbled. He feels bad by that. He's living in a strange place. He doesn't know the people over there. He's wearing clothes like that. So that itself is likely to break his stubbornness and make that now in the future he's not going to do that Aveda. On the other hand, Tosfos says, from our Gemara, it seems to imply that we do after all mean that we're talking about maybe even let him do the Aveda, but at least the least worst option, because at least he's not making a Chilul Hashem with it. So it's two different ways of understanding the Gemara. Anyway, the point is, it seems, though, that Rav Ila is saying that there are that if a person does an Aveda in secret, it's not as bad as doing it with a Hefzia. Whereas before we were saying just the opposite. It shows a lack of respect for Hashem. And the answer is, like Kasha, Hodamoti Kayef Levi Yitzray, it depends whether he's able to control his Yetzirah, then of course he shouldn't do the Aveda in secret either. And if he does, it's showing disrespect for Hashem, because he's showing that I don't care that Hashem sees me as long as other people don't see me. Hodamoti Kayef Levi Yitzray, whereas if he's in a situation where he can't control his Yetzirah has gotten too much the better of him, then at least the least worst thing is for him to do the Aveda in secret rather than in public. Obviously, you know, this to come to a point like Loi Motzi Kayif LeYitzre itself shows that he's way far down. It shows that itself he needs to work on himself and be able to. You know, we had fairly recently, for example, in Tanya, that the Alter Rebbe gives many different strategies for dealing with the Yetzer Hara. But the bottom line is, we're saying there can be a case where doing it for Seser is not as bad as doing it for when it's not as bad as doing it for Hasya, because at least he's going to do the Aveda either way. At least he's not making a Chilul Hashem in the process. All right, continues the Gemara. Dorash Rabbi Yehuda Berab Nachmeni Meturgamone de Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yehuda Berab Nachmeni, who was the Meturgamon, he was the interpreter of Rish Lakish when Rish Lakish would give his Shiurim. So he himself, this Rabbi Yehuda Berab Nachmeni himself, was a Talmud Chacham. We want to know who he is. We want to know whether the fact that he was associated with Rish Lakish, but he himself was a great Talmud Chacham. It does many times it says what a person's job is, yeah. So he said, Kolam is stack of a gimel dvarim, a person who looks at any of the following three things, Eino Kehois, his eyes will go dim. Bakeshes uvanasi uvakoyim. The rainbow, the nasi, and specifically actually it's brought someplace that it means specifically when the nasi is judging a din Torah, and the koyanim when they're duchening. So bakeshes, which is why we cover our faces with the talus during duchening. Bakeshes, how do we know that the rainbow, dichtiv, because we said before, kamari akeshes ashiyir ba'onan v'yem agoshem, like the appearance of a rainbow that appears in the cloud on a rainy day, hu marid mus kvod Hashem, this is the appearance of the semblance of Hashem's covered. So therefore, in other words, we see that Hashem's shchina in some way or other appears in the rainbow, and therefore to stare at it makes a person's eyes go dim. Because it's something that he shouldn't be looking at. The Nasi, dichtiv, because we find when Moshe appoints Yeshua as the next leader of the Jewish people, which is the Nasi, the pasuk says, "V'nasata mehodcha olav," you should put from your glory on him, meaning in other words, some of the glory of the Shechina went on to Yeshua, and more generally, it goes into every Nasi after that, and therefore to stare at him, it, in particular, like I said, what it says is when he's judging the Din Torah, then causes the person's eyes to go dim.
What about any other time,
then the Pashto's not, then he doesn't have the Shechina on him as much, because we find, for example, the Shechina is particularly there when the Beis Din is judging a case, the Kimnitz of Badat Keo, and therefore more than other times, then you have the Shechina is resting on him, and therefore to stare at him would be inappropriate. You have, by the way, you find that many times, I don't know if they do this nowadays, but many times, Rabbonim, actually, when they were judging a Din Torah, they would actually cover their face with a talus. Practically speaking, that was probably part of it, was in order that they're not distracted and in order they're not looking at the faces of Bali Din, and they may favor one of them over the other, but it may have also been related to this idea of it. Anyway, and the third thing is a mistake of a koyanim, specifically Bizman Shabes Mikha Shoyokayam, when the Bez Mikhash was standing, Shoyo Omnin al Duchonon, they were standing by the Duchon and the Bez Mikhash, Umavokhan as Yisrael, Bashem HaMechodesh, and they were blessing the Jewish people, Birkas Koyanim, with the Shema Mefodosh, then the Shechina rested on their hands, and then to look at their hands would make a person's eyes grow dim. Tosfos points out that we did learn in Masechta Megillah a couple of months ago that Rashi had pointed out over there we talk about over there cases where a person has deformities, a koyan has deformities on his hand, or paint, or dye, or whatever on his hands, and the problem is that people are going to look at him, and Rashi said over there, because we're saying over here, ain't a chayas. Tosfos says, what do you mean? We're saying over here only when the business is standing. So what Tosfos explains is like this. You're not supposed to look at them even nowadays because of hesach hadat. You're going to get distracted from listening to the words of Birkas Koyanim and concentrating on them. But, so that's why, in that Mishnah over there, it says that if they have deformities or dye or whatever on their hands, then they're not supposed to do it. Nowadays, if they cover their hands with the talus, and we cover ourselves with the talus, then it's not really an issue. But, what do you call it? When the Beis Mikdash was standing, then in fact, then the person would, when the Beis Mikdash was standing, then in fact, then looking at them would make your eyes grow dim. So in short, Tosfos is saying, nowadays you shouldn't look at them, not because the Shechina is on their hands, because of the Hesach Hadas, in the Beis Mikdash you shouldn't be looking at them because of the Shechina is on their hands. The Shechina is not on their hands nowadays, at least not to the same extent that it would make a person's eyes grow dim. No, not other times in the Beis Mikdash, just specifically when they're doing
it.
No, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, nobody's seeing them anyway. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was there by himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. This that I said before about the Nasi, when he's judging, this is the Kolba, he said that. Okay. Anyway, continues the Gemara. Here's another thing that the same Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nachmani, the Metrugamon of Rish Lakish, also taught the following statement. My dichti, what does it mean a pasuk? Al ta'aminu bereya, don't trust in a friend. Al tibtchu ba'aluf, don't rely on the leader. So we're going to understand that the reya over here means the Yetzirah, and aluf, the leader, means Hashem. Means, if the Yetzer tells you, it's okay, do an Avera, and don't worry, Hashem will forgive you. So, Al Tamin, don't believe in him, don't trust him, and say, okay, I'll do the Avera, and later on Hashem will, forgive me. Don't trust in that. Shenem Al Tamin Bereya. Now, the word Reya is written in the Pasuk, Reish Ayin, and therefore we can read it as if it said Ra, the one who is bad, meaning Yetzer. So ve'en ra ele yetzahara. The word ra means the yetzahara. Shenemak yetz leva adam ra. As the pasuk says, the inclination of a person's heart is ra, is evil. So don't listen to the ra. Ve'en aluf ela kodesh bohu. The word aluf, the leader, means Hashem. Shenem aluf ne'urayot. As the pasuk says, that the Jewish people say to Hashem, you are my leader since my youth, since the beginning of my nationhood. So therefore, so in other words, the pasuk is saying, "Al ta'aminu bereya." Don't trust what the ra, the yetzahara, is telling you. Do the avera, and it's okay. Hashem will forgive you. Al tibtchu ba'aluf. Don't trust. Don't rely on the aluf, on Hashem, to forgive you and say that he's going to be meichel. Don't do the avera in the first place. Obviously, if you did the avera, then you do tshuva. But we're talking about don't like the Gemara says in Yuma. Don't say echt of oshu. Don't say I'll do the avera. Don't say, I'll do the Avera, and I'll do Tshuva afterwards. So don't rely on that. Shema Toma Mineidi, you're going to say, okay, so I do an Avera in secret. Who's going to be able to say Eidos against me? Well, the answer is Avne Besa, the Kodesh Besa, Shaladam, Hein Me'idin Boi. The stones and the beams of a person's house will give Eidos on him of what he did. Nowadays that you have the security cameras and we can actually realize that it's much easier to realize that concept, but we're saying that even before they existed, then they can give Eidos on him in front of Hashem. Because you can see that you're Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Ki Evan Mikiu Tizak, the Pasuk says, a stone will cry out from the wall, V'chofis Me'et Ya'anena, and a beam of wood will reply to it from the beam of wood will reply to it. So in other words, they're going to cry out and reply about the Averis that a person did in their house. V'chom, I mean, the Chum say differently. Nishmas shel adam me'idabay. A person's own neshama will give eidus against him in front of Hashem for the averus that he did. Shenema, as the pasuk says, it's actually the continuation of the pasuk that we said before. Al tamidu bereya al tiktuk ba'aluk. The same pasuk continues. Mishecheves chekecha shmur pischepicha. From the one that lies in your lap, guard the openings of your mouth. And ezo yidavash shecheves chekecha shel adam. What is it that lies in a person's lap and is constantly with him? Heveyem is neshama. That means his neshama. So his neshama will be the one that testifies against him to Hashem. Rav Zrika, Amar Rav Zrika says a third thing. Shnei malachei hasharis hamalavin oisei hein me'edin bo'i. The two malachei hasharis that accompany a person all the time, they are the ones who will give eidos on what he did. Shenema ki malachei yitzav alach, as the pasuk says, Hashem will command his malachim to you l'shmorcha v'chol derechecha, to guard you in all of your ways, which actually has a double meaning. It means, in other words, they'll protect you, he'll command them to be with you for the good, and l'shmorcha, to guard you about what you're doing not so good, b'chol derechecha, and everything that you do, and they are the ones who then can give aids. And then we have another opinion, v'chachamim say, or on the side over here, it says, v'yeshoimrim, we look at this in Tainus as well, a vodav shel adam me'idin bo, a person's own limbs with which he did the various averus, that's what's going to testify against him. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'atem edai ne'um Hashem, the pasuk says, you, plural, are my edim, says Hashem, v'ani keil, and I am Hashem, so the atem is referring to you, plural, is referring to the person's own limbs that are going to testify in front of Hashem about what the person did. The Mishnah says, so now we're continuing on. We had digressed at the end of the previous perek and the beginning of this perek to talk about various other topics that are not directly related to Masechta Chagiga. Now we're getting back to the topic of the Masechta, which is the korbanos that we bring on Yom Tov. Now, so you're bringing these korbanos on Yom Tov, So now usually when you bring a korban, usually when you're bringing an oilo or a shlomim, you usually do smicha on it. So now that we're going to discuss this matter of smicha on the korban. So the Mishnah says, Yosi ben Yezer, Yosef ben Yezer, whatever, oimer shaloi l'smich. This was the very first machloikas that persisted among the Jewish people, where the Nasi and the Avdestin in subsequent generations, as we're going to go on over here, argued about this one halacha, whether to do smicha on the korban on Yom Tov or not. We're going to discuss in the Gemara a few different possible reasons behind the machloikas. So Yosi ben Yezer and Yosi ben Yochanan had this machloikas, and it persisted throughout the following generations, all the way down to Hillel and Shammai, but then the reason behind the machloikas, the pashtus, when they had the machloikas, the reason was clear to them, but now it did, but then in later times, by the time of the Amoraim, it wasn't as clear, and we're going to have different opinions about it on Omer Beis. So Yosef ben Yezer Omer Shaloi L'Smich, he said you should not lean on the korban on Yom Tov, for reasons that we're going to talk about on Omer Beis. Yosef ben Yochanan Omer L'Smich. Yosef ben Yochanan, who was the Av Beis Din, said that you should do the smicha. In the next generation, they had the same machloikas again. By the way, Tosfos points out they had machloikas in before that as well. For example, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that Shaul and David had a machloikas about certain dinim of kedushin. The reason why we're saying this is the first machloikas, this is the first one that persisted. Tosfos, what it says is that since Shaul and his Beis Din were the ones who held one way, and the only one who argued was David, that can't really be called machloikas. Machloikas would be when you have a substantial number of the Chachamim arguing and they can't resolve it. You only had David, had his opinion, and everybody else disagreed with him. But so that kind of machloikas, they had, the here and there, but then you go to the Beis Din and Gadol, and they resolve it. He was the first one where they had a machloikas that they couldn't resolve because there were many Chachamim. When we say Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, we mean not just them, we mean many of their Talmidim took one side, and many of them took the other side, and they couldn't resolve it. You have to realize also, in the time of Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, that is the time that they lived at the time when the Greeks were ruling over Eretz Yisrael. This is the period before and after the Nes Hanukkah. So times were bad. There was all the Xeris and Shmodos and everything that the Greeks made. And apparently because of that, the Chachamim didn't have the time to be able to, the stability to be able to sit down and hash this out and come to a decision. In the next generation, they continued to have the same machlokes. Yeshua ben Prachya Omer Shaloi L'Smich, Nitei HaBeli Omer L'Smich. In the second generation, you had the same machlokes between the Nasi and the Abbeis. In the third generation, Yehuda ben Taba Omer Shaloi L'Smich, Shimon HaShatach Omer L'Smich. In the fourth generation, it flipped around. Shmaya Omer L'Smich, Haptalion Omer Shaloi L'Smich. In the fourth generation, Shmaya, who was the fourth Nasi of the Zugas, he said to be Soinach. So he held the opinion that the Ovis based in the previous generations had held, Aftalion, Omer Shaloi L'Smich, and Aftalion took the position of the Nasiim of the previous generation and said not to do Snicha. Then the Mishnah continues, Hilul Menachem Loinachaku. Hilul Menachem Loinachaku. Hillel and Menachem, who was originally Hillel's Beis Din, they did not argue about it because Menachem remained as Av Beis Din only for a very short time. So they didn't have the chance for the Machlokas to be brought up during his tenure. Yotze Menachem Nichnas Shammai, then Menachem left, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara what it means he left, and Shammai came in as the new Av Beis Din. Now Shammai, Omer Shaloi L'Smich, Hillel Omer L'Smich, and Shammai continued like the Av Beis Din of the previous generation, like Aptalion, and said not to do smicha. Hillel Omer L'Smich, and Hillel said yes, do smicha. Like the Nasi, like Shmaya in the previous generation, and like the Ovis Beis Din in the previous generation. Tosfos wonders, by the way, now everyone says, how Rishonim, the Mishnah continues, in each of these pairs, the first one that we listed, Hoyu Nasiim, the first one of each pair was the Nasi, Ushniim Lahem Av Beis Din. The one mentioned second is the Av Beis Din. So Tosfos wonders, in that case, what about this last pair over here? Shammai is Av Beis Din, Hillel is the Nasi. Why is Shammai listed first? So Tosfos says, okay, because since in the first three pairs, the ones who said Shaloi L'Smich were Nasiim, and Shammai holds like them, so therefore it mentions him first. And by the way, Tosfos says, once it mentions him first, then it mentions him first throughout the rest of Shas. We usually have Shammai mentioned before Hillel. On the other hand, there's different other explanations, one of them being because Hillel was particularly onav. We have the famous story in Masech Shabbos about how humble Hillel was, so therefore he's mentioned after Shammai, even though he was first. It may also be because Shammai lived his whole life in Eretz Yisrael. Hillel didn't. He came from Babel at some point and moved to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, like, Shammai was first, and he wasn't first in the position. He said Menachem was, but he was one of the leading Chachamim of his times before Hillel ever showed up. But okay, anyway, Tosfos says it's quite clear. We know, of course, that Hillel was the Nasi and Shammai was our base, and so there's no way that we could confuse and say that it was the other way around. But now the question is going to be, the Gemara is going to discuss, as far as the third Zug, Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shotach, which one was the Nasi, which one was the Avestin? So the Gemara says, Tana Rabban, we learn in a Braisa, Shloisha Mizugis have shown him Sha'omr Shaloy Lismach, of the first three pairs, the ones who said Shaloy Lismach, don't do Smicha, Ushnaim Mizugis Achranim Sha'omr Lismach, and the last two Zugis, the one who said you should do Smicha on Yamdiv, Hari Shonim, Hari Nisim, Ushnaim Lam Ovis Bastin. So those five, in the first three, the ones who said not to be Smicha, and the last two groups, the ones who said to be Smicha, those were the Nisim. So Yosi ben Ye'ezer, Yoshua ben Prachia, etc. And the other way around, the ones who said in the first three generations to be Soma, and the ones who said in the last two generations not to be, those were the obvious based in. So Yosef ben Yochanan, and Nitzah Bailey, and so on. Divir Reb Meir, that's what Reb Meir says. The Chum say, as far as the third pair, Yehuda ben Tabai, Ab Bastin, the Shimon ben Shatach Nasi. It's the other way around. They say Yehuda ben Tabai was the Ab Bastin, Shimon ben Shatach was the Nasi. So according to them, the first two pairs is the one mentioned first is the Nasi. So according to them, in the third pair in our Mishnah, when we said, Harishonim, how you always based in, they would say it should be the other way around, that we should mention Shimon ben Shatach first. And he said to be Soimach, so according to that, he would be the first Nasi who said to be Soimach, unlike the two Nasiim before him, who said not to. So the Gemara says, if you have a Machlokas, remember, Rav Meir and the Chachamim lived a couple hundred years later, so in their time it wasn't clear which was which. So the Gemara says, Man Tana Laha de Tana Rabbanon. Well then, which of those Tanoim, the Meir or the Chachamim, is the Tana of the following Braisa? Omer of Yehuda ben Tabai, that in a Braisa of Yehuda ben Tabai says, Hagoyes HaGrua takes out the word Rebbe, because in those times they didn't use the title Rebbe yet, that came in only later. So in those times, he said, Godo Merab and Shmoy, their name itself is greater than any title. Anyway, so he says, Erev Nechama, may I see the Nechama of the Jewish people, in other words, it's a Loshen Shavua, saying that if what I'm saying, that if what I'm about to say is not true, if what I'm about to say is not true, then I shouldn't get to see the Nechama of the Jewish people. But Rav Tosfos points out, it's like a short Loshen of a Shavua. You find even like that sometimes in Chumash. Anyway, the point is, he's saying, I swear that the following statement is true. By the way, Maharsha points out, you know, when Yehuda ben Tabai's time, the Beis Mikdash is still standing. Nevertheless, they knew they still need the Nechama. They're living in a time, fine, you know, the Jewish people are ruling over Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Mikdash is standing. Nevertheless, they knew that they don't have the Geula HaMitzvah Vashlema yet, and they knew that the Beis Mikdash is yet going to be destroyed, and therefore therefore he's saying about the Nechama, about the ultimate Nechama of the Jewish people. So in other words, even in the time of the second Beis Mikdash, they knew they still need Mashiach. Anyway, so he says, Ereb Nechama, im loy haragti eid zoynim, that if it's not true, in other words, it most certainly is true, that I killed an eid zoynim. We know about eidim zoynim, they come to Beis Din, saying that Reuven did such and such an aveira, let's say, for which he's chayiv nisa, or not just chayiv nisa, anything. Reuven owes Shimon X amount of money, Reuven gets malchus for such and such, whatever. Anyway, it turns out that they weren't there at the time. Other Edom come and say, Imanu Ayisem, you were with us someplace else. So then the rule is the Edom Zemmen get the punishment that they meant for the person. So Misa, if it was Misa, then Misa, Malchus, then Malchus, etc. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai is saying that I killed an Ed Zemmen. Even though, under normal circumstances, this wouldn't have been a case where he's chayav mitzah, but in order to deliberately demonstrate against the Tzedukim, which in his time, the Tzedukim were quite powerful, they say the opposite of the halacha that we know, that the Edom Zemen are executed only if the person that they tried to frame himself got executed. So they would say, in other words, only if Reuven got executed for breaking Shabbos, let's say, and then it turned out that they're Edom Zemen, only then would we execute the Edom Zemen. And we know it's the other way around, Kasha Zaman V'loy Kasha Ofta. If Reuven actually got executed, then we don't execute the Edom Zemen. Why that is a whole other topic. And that's the Shem. When we get to Masechta Makos a few years from now, we can discuss it. But in any case, that's the din. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Taba is saying, I, Davke, in order to demonstrate against the Pesukim, in this particular case, I had the Edom Zemen executed just to demonstrate that the Pesukim are wrong, and because it was before Reuven had been executed, therefore I had him executed. But Omaloy Shimon ben Shattach, but Shimon ben Shattach said to him, on the other hand, you made a mistake. Ere ben Nechama, may I see, or rather as a way of saying, may I not see the Nechama of the Jewish people, im loy shafachta dam nafi. If it's not true, in other words, it most certainly is true that you spilled innocent blood. Shari Omru Chachamim, because after all, the Chachamim also said, Ein Edim Zemin Narogan Abshi Yazumu Shneihem, you only kill them, you only execute them, only if both of them are shown to be Zemin. Only if the new Edim that come say, Imanu Hayistim, they say, you were with us elsewhere, both of you. In this case, it's only one Edim was, in only one, they had evidence, they had other Edim that he had been elsewhere. So, and therefore, you can't execute him like that. The Edim Loikin Abshi Yazumu Shneihem, by the same token, if the Eid Zayman gets Malkus, then also you only do it if both of them have been Muzam, or only if both of them have been disproved because both of them were there. Were else.
Can you execute the only one who you have proof against?
No, so that's the thing. That's what we're saying. Rav Shimon ben Shattach is telling him that Yehuda ben Taba, you made a mistake. There were two Edim over here. So you have, let's say, for example, two Edim, we'll call them Shimon and Levi, came to Beis Din and said that Reuven was Mechal HaShabbos. Now, what happened? Two more Edim, we'll call them Yehuda and Yisachar, came and said that Shimon, the first Ed, was elsewhere at the time and therefore he couldn't have seen this. So now, Yehuda ben Taba was saying, thought, given that Reuven hasn't been executed yet, we should Davka execute Shimon to demonstrate against Tzedukim. But Shimon Shattach says, fine, as far as that, you're correct. But on the other hand, the fact is, you also should have paid attention to the halacha, that we can only do that only if Shimon and Levi were not there at the time. In this case, only Shimon was an Eid Zayman, Levi is not. So, in fact, there's an explanation, in fact, that Yehuda, obviously Yehuda ben Taba knew that halacha. So there's an explanation, in fact, from a Pirush called Menachem Meshiv Nefesh, who says that, of course, Yehuda ben Taba knew that halacha, but he thought, as a Hiras Shah, to demonstrate once and for all, not like the Tzedukim, he thought to do that. But Shimon ben Shattach is telling him, the fact is that, on the other hand, you kind of played into the Tzedukim's hand in another way, because they say that when the Pasuk says, Vasisim loy kasha samam, you should do to him as he plotted, they think it means that even one aid can be executed if he was the aid zonim, and the fact is, the halacha is not, it's only a fool of them. So yes, you disproved the Tzedukim in one way, but by accident, you didn't realize that you're playing into their hands in another way. So, Ve'en Misham and Mammon actually is a Mushnam. And the same thing, even if it involves paying money. We don't say paying money, big deal, it's only money. We don't say that maybe if only one of them was Muzam. No, both of them have to be Muzam in order for it to take effect. From then on, Yehuda ben Taba right away accepted on himself that he's not going to ever pask in halacha except in the presence of Shimon ben Shattach, so that if he makes a mistake, then Shimon ben Shattach will be able to correct it. So the Gemara says, the Braisa continues, Kol Yomav Shol Yehuda ben Taba Hayim Shateach Al Kibroi Shol Oisei Horug. Throughout the rest of Yehuda ben Taba's life, he would go and fall on the ground by the kever of that person who had been killed, this Eid Zayman who had been killed, to ask Mechila for doing that. V'hoya koyle nishman, you could hear his voice from a distance crying. Kisvurina omloim, shakoyle shavharavu. People didn't realize that Yehuda ben Taba going there to act, to cry and to ask Mechila. They thought it's the dead person himself, that they're hearing his voice. Omalahem, but Yehuda ben Taba told them, koyle hu, you should know it's my voice. Teidu, and you can prove that it's my voice. Shalomachahu mesva in koyle nishman. Tomorrow, meaning at some point in the near future, he, meaning I, am going to pass away, and you won't hear the voice anymore. So as soon as I pass away, you won't hear the voice. That shows that all, that will show you that all along it was my voice, not his. However, generations later, the Achabre Dirava points out to Ravashi, that's not a very strong proof. The Duma Piyose Kaise, after all, that doesn't prove anything. Maybe after Yehuda Batabe passed away and goes to Beis Shomayla, then he appeases this person that he had killed, and finally the person is willing to be Moichel him there. Oibedina Tabe, or maybe in fact the guy took him in front of the Beis Shomayla and got him judged. So obviously we can rely that Yehuda Ben Taba is saying, of course he's saying the truth, this is my voice, but Rav Acha Ben Dirava is pointing out that the proof that he was using is kind of a weak proof. Tosfos points out, by the way, the reason why he has to attribute it to when he dies, why can't he say, when I'm not there, then he won't hear me? Okay, because people would say, you know what, okay, only when you're around is he screaming out. But people would realize, on the other hand, when Yehuda Ben Taba passed away, his neshama is going to be up there in Gan Eden together with that guy. Then the guy will have all the more reason to cry out. And therefore, Yehuda Ben Taba tells them, the fact is, you won't then, because it's my voice rather than his. Okay, so now that we have that braisa, man. So now we had before the machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim, who was the Nasi and who was the Av Beis Din in that zug. So which opinion is this braisa like? Mani ho, who is it like? If you say the braisa goes according to the mayor, then it works well. He says originally Shimon Shatach, he says Shimon Shatach in that zug was the Abbasin, and Yehuda Ben Tabai is the Nasi who ranks higher in the Abbasin. So that explains, up until now, Yehuda Ben Tabai outranks Shimon Shatach, and therefore he's perfectly entitled to Paskin Halacha, not in Shimon Shatach's presence. There's no issue of murder Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. Now he's saying, though, that because I made such a terrible mistake, from now on, I'm not going to do that. I'm only going to pass kind of Shimon Shatach has a way. Ela, the Amit Rambonon, but if you say this, Braisa is like the Chachamim. The Amit Yehuda Ben Taba Abbasin, Shimon Shatach Nasi. They say Yehuda Ben Taba was Abbasin and Shimon Shatach was the Nasi. Well, then to begin with, Abbasin with Ne Nasi, Mimoda Halacha. Since when is the Abbasin allowed to pass in Halacha in front of the Nasi? You're not allowed to pass in Halacha in front of your Rebbe. So the answer is loy, not necessarily. You could say the braisa goes according to the Chachamim, because my kibbol olav to kamar, what does it mean? It says Yehuda Ben Tabai, who all along, according to the Chachamim, was the Av Beis Din, and therefore that he accepted that he's not going to pass in front of Shimon Shatach. What do you mean? He couldn't pass it up until now either. It means it's derufi. It means he was saying, I'm not even going to combine together. Da'afilu, it's derufi, nami, lo mitzarifna. Before that, he would say, I could sit on a Beis Din even if Shimon Shatach is not around. Now he's saying that as long as Shimon Shatach is not around, like he's out of town or something, I'm not sitting on the Beis Din at all because I'm afraid I'm going to make a mistake and Shimon Shatach is not going to be allowed to correct.
Was that just for, he said that for just Dini Mamunas and Dini Nefashis, or just Dini Nefashis?
Dini Mamunas, everything, I guess he's saying, yeah.
He made a mistake in Dini Nefashis only.
Now he's concerned that maybe he's making mistakes in other things as well, I don't know. There is, by the way, the Meiri has a bit of a different explanation of the Gemara. Rashi is explaining that the question is, how was he able to pass an halacha up until now, if we say that he was the Av Beis Din and Shimon Shatach is the Nasi, how was he able to pass an halacha up until now? And the answer is that now he's saying, up until now, he was able to do it. We were able to do it now when Shimon Shatach was not there, but now, but up until then, in other words, if Shimon Shatach was out of town, let's say, then Yehuda Ben Taba would feel free to sit on a Beis Din. Now we say not. The Meiri actually explains that the question was the other way around. How is Yehuda Ben Taba saying, from now on, I'm only going to pass him when Shimon Shatach is around? That makes things worse. It means his Rebbe is around. He's not allowed to pass him Halacha in his presence. So what it means is, in other words, that he's saying that when Shimon Shatach is here, then I will join the Beis Din, the Tzarifna, I'll join together, and we'll issue a halacha jointly. But without Shimon Shatach, I'm not around, I'm not even going to do that. Tosfos has a different explanation that it means, let's say, in the Beis Din, let's say Shimon Shatach says one thing, and the other Chachamim are disagreeing, Yehuda Ben Taba is saying, up until now, fine, I could vote against Shimon Shatach, he has his opinion, I have mine. now that this happened, I'm never again going to vote against him. Whatever he says, I'm going to vote with him because I realize that he knows a lot more than I do. Tosfos also mentioned, by the way, from the Yerushalmi, that both opinions, both the mayor's and the Chachamim's opinions about which one was the Nasi and which one was the Av Beis Din, both have support from stories that happened. Our story, you have like this, the Yerushalmi tells a story when they wanted to appoint Yehuda ben Tabai as Nasi, he didn't want the position and he ran away to Egypt, to Alexandria. So they wrote a letter to Alexandria saying that my orus, my chosin is by you and I'm stuck over here, so please send him back to me. In other words, if they're calling him the chosin, implies that he's the Nasi, which is the leader of the entire Jewish people, if they're calling him Arusi. On the other hand, when you have the story of Shimon Shaddach and the 80 witches, the famous story in Sanhedrin about the 80 witches that Shimon Shaddach judged and punished them, and the whole story over there, that implies that Shimon Shaddach was the Nasi rather than the Av Beis Din. There are historians who argue that maybe both of them are correct. Originally, Yehuda ben Tabai was the Nasi. After this story was saying, not only did he accept on himself that he's not going to paskin in front of Shimon Shaddach, without Shimon Shaddach around, whatever, but in fact, he resigned the Nasius and gave it over to Shimon Shaddach, and thus Shimon Shaddach became the Nasi, and he became the Av Beis Din. And there are historians who argue like that. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Hillel and Menachem lo nachu. We said Yotzei Menachem and Nichnas Shammai Erevim. We said that Hillel and Menachem did not argue over this point of Smicha. Then Menachem went out, and Shammai came in. So Laheichan Yotzei, where did Menachem go? So Abaya Omer Yotzei L'Chal Busra. Abaya says he went off to bad ways. In other words, maybe in something we used Chal Busra before about Acher, for example. So it means he went off the Derech. Rava Omer Yotzei L'Avodas HaMelech. Rava says not so bad. He left learning Torah full time and went to work for the king. Amigmar says Tani Nami Hochi. We learn in fact a Braisa like that. Yotzei Menachem L'Avodas HaMelech. Menachem went out to work for the king being Hurdus, the king of Eretz Yisrael, of the Jewish people at that time was Hurdus. So Menachem went and left the Sanhedrin and left full-time learning Torah in order to work for Hurdus, the Yotzeim Shmoinim Zugis Tamidim, Levushim Tzivikon. And together with him, 80 pairs of Tamidim, who were dressed in fancy clothes, in royal clothes, went out together with him to all go work for the government. That's a terrible thing that you have this many Talmid Chachamim that left and decided that we can't be bothered learning Torah full time anymore. I mean, that's to be Malamed Tzchus, and then maybe they figured, you know, who this is in Russia. We need as many people as possible that know their way around Torah, and maybe we can moderate his influence or whatever. But still, we're calling it a Yotzei, that maybe it wasn't such a great thing. There is, by the way, an interesting thing Josephus mentions in his histories. He says that this Menachem. He actually says that Menachem was from a group called the Issyim, which is some people say they're the ones who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. Josephus described at some length that they lived out in the desert and they didn't have normal family lives and they stayed away from human society in general. So they weren't necessarily what a Yid is supposed to be. But anyway, he says that Menachem was one of them. And he says when Hurdus was much younger, Menachem had said on him, had said with Ruach HaKodesh that he's one day going to be king. And now when Hurdus became king, then he honored Menachem greatly and appointed him as one of his ministers. But from the Gemara, it seems he wasn't, from the Mishnah, it seems pretty clearly he wasn't one of the Issyim. He was, in fact, a Frum Yid, unless we could say, I mean, maybe he hid it. Maybe he pretended all the years to be a Frum Yid, and now, in fact, he went, maybe that's what Rabbi means, Yotzei L'Chal Busra, that now he showed his true colors. Whatever the case, he left, not even mentioned in Pirkei Avos among the Mekabli HaTorda, and Shammai came in instead and was one of the Mekabli HaTorda, one of the ones who taught, who learned the whole Torah from his Rebbeim and transmitted it to the following generation. Now, let's talk about the actual machloikis that they had. Amr of Shaman Ba'aba Amr of Yitzchanan, lo'olam al tehe shvus kalabay nach. You should never treat a shvus, an isur, drabanan of Shabbat and Yom Tov casually. Shari smicha ena ela mishum shvus, because this whole concept why you shouldn't be able to do smicha on the animal on Yom Tov is only a matter of shvus. And yet the great people of each generation, the Nasi and the Av Beis Din of each generation, argued over it for generations on end. So you see that even a shvus you have to pay close attention to. It must be pshita. Of course you have to pay attention to dinim d'rabbanan. What else would you think? The answer is shvus mitzvah tzrichamer. The chiddush is Rabbi Yechon is saying, even when the Shavuos even when the Shavuos affects the doing of a mitzvah, even when the Shavuos affects the doing of a mitzvah, as in this case, with smicha as a mitzvah, nevertheless, Rabbi Yechon is telling you pay close attention to it. So the Gemara says, Honami Pshita. Okay, but isn't that also obvious? We know this is the Shavuos. We know it affects the doing of a mitzvah. So therefore, of course, obviously they're arguing about that. What else would we think? The answer is La Pukin Amanda Om of the Smicha Gufa Pliti. The answer is like this. In the Gemara in Beitza, the Gemara in Beitza has a much longer sugya about this whole topic of smicha on a korban on yomtiv. In fact, they have a machlokas, the Shammai Yisrael, about it, which in fact we're going to learn that machlokas in the next Mishnah. We're going to learn about that machlokas in the next Mishnah, but the Gemara in Beitza discusses it much more in detail. Anyway, there's a few ways of understanding the machlokas about smicha. One way of understanding it is that you don't have to do smicha in the first place on shlomim that you're required to bring, because the pasuk mentions smicha about shalmei nedava. When you bring a shlomim as a voluntary thing, then you have to do smicha on it. So the Gemara brings over there in Beitza one opinion, one braisa, that says that on a shalmei chayva you don't have to do smicha in the first place. Well, in that case, then obviously, then of course you're not doing it on Yom Tov, because on Yom Tov because the Shami Chagiga that you're bringing is a korban that you're required to bring. Well, then in that case, then that has nothing to do with the Shavuos. That has to do with the korban itself. Midaraisa does not require Chagiga. So in that case, Rabbi Yechanan couldn't say always be careful about a Shavuos the mitzvah, because it wouldn't be a Shavuos the mitzvah. So therefore, so Rabbi Yechanan wants to tell us not like that opinion, and then the Gemara there over there brings a second possibility that the Gemara brings over there a second possibility that the other reason why maybe you wouldn't do it on Yom Tov is because you have to do the smicha right before the shechita. Beis Shammai eventually, and all the other nesiim and others based him before that, who held that you do not, they would hold that you don't have to do the smicha before the shechita. So fine, do it on Erev Yom Tov, don't do it on Yom Tov. As opposed to all the ones who held that you do have to, would hold you do have to. Well, then again, that's not a matter of a shavuos. That's a matter of that they would say you could do it before Yom Tov. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan wants you to know, not like either of those, but rather like rather a third possibility, namely that they both agree that you have to do smicha on a shlomim, which is a chayva, and they both agree. And they both agree that it has to be done before the shechita, but they're saying, but the Shammai and all the chachamim before them are saying not to be smicha, are saying nevertheless the chachamim made a gzera not to lean on an animal on Yom Tov, and therefore we're going to override that even though it's interfering with a mitzvah. So that's what Rabbi Yechanan wants you to know. So Rabbi Yechanan wants you to know, not like the opinions that say the machlokas is on the smicha itself. Do you bechlal have to do smicha on this korban because of the shlomim that you're required to bring? Or do you bechlal have to do smicha right before the shechita? Or could you do it erev Yom Tov? So no, Kamash Malon, Rabbi Yechanan wants to tell you that no, you do have to do it beforehand, or right before the korban is shechted, or b'shvos hu d'pligi, that the machlokas is actually on the matter of do we make a shavuos override a mitzvah d'oraisa. So Omer Rami Bachama. So Rami Bachama says Shmamina. We see from that smicha b'chol koyche be'ina. When you're doing smicha, you have to do it with your full strength. It doesn't just mean that you put your hand on top of the animal's head. It means that you actually lean on it with your full strength, and therefore you're leaning on the animal and you're using the animal on Yom Tov. The isak dadak loyva in the whole koicha, because if you're going to say you don't need your full strength, my carbon, so what's the problem? There's no shavuos of Yom Tov. Listen, go ahead and do smicha. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan is telling us there's a shavuos not to, and the fact why Yosi ben Yezer and Yeshua ben Prachya and so on and so forth are saying not to be smicha, shows that you have to do smicha b'chol koicha. So the Gemara says, Nasty, though I have a contradiction on that. A braisa says that when the pasuk says "Daber al bnei Yisrael v'samach," when the pasuk says "Speak to bnei Yisrael," and a couple of psukim later it says that you should do smicha on the korban, that means bnei Yisrael soinchin vein bnei Yisrael soinchis, means only bnei Yisrael, only Jewish men do smicha. Jewish women do not do smicha. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel, it says on the side of it here, it should really be Rabbi Shimon, all the other places in Shas where it brings this machlokes, it's Rabbi Shimon. Anyway, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say, B'nai Yisrael, same chas Rishus. It's true that Jewish women don't have to do smicha, but they could do smicha if they want to. And Om Rabbi Yossi, Sochli Abba Elazar, and in fact, Rabbi Yossi says that Abba Elazar told me, that could mean my father Elazar, or Bapashtus not, because Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chalakta, so Bapashtus means an important Talmud Chacham by the name of Elazar. He told me, Pam Achas Hoyolon Egel Shal Zivcha Shlomim, one time, now Rabbi Yossi is living after the Churban, but this Abba Elazar lived in the time of the Bismarck. So we once had half of Shlomim, Ve'avinu L'Ezras Nashim, we brought it to the Ezras Nashim, the Samchu Olav Nashim, and the women did smicha on it. Loy Mipnechus Smicha B'Nashim, not because they're required to, Elekadim Lasses Nachas Ruach B'Nashim, but in order to give them pleasure, in order that they should have the pleasure of knowing that they're participating in the Korban. So now the question becomes, if you're telling me, Romi Bachoma, that smicha has to be with the person's full strength, Tosfos points out, by the way, this korban belonged to the women, so therefore it needed, so therefore, even though they're the owner of them and they don't have to do smicha, nevertheless they wanted to give them a chance and have them do smicha. Rashi also, by the way, Tosfos also discusses that Rashi and Tosfos discuss in a few different places in Shas, can women do mitzvahs that they're not obligated in this case, for example, smicha? Is there, Rashi learns in some places that there might be a problem of bal tosif with it, and Tosfos is saying over here that no, we see from Al Gemara over here, the problem would be using kodshim, not per se doing the malacha. It's a famous machloikas rishonim, and it's negeya, for example, when you blow shofar for women on Rosh Hashanah, when you have with women take lulav on Sukkos, and so on and so forth, do they make a bracha or not? Anyway, so here we're saying that they did, they had the women do smicha for nachas ruach, but the question is, if you're telling me that smicha has to be done with a person's full strength, what are you going to tell me? In order to give some women some pleasure that they should feel like they participated in the korban, we're going to allow them to do avodah, we're going to allow them to do work with the kodshim? To do smicha when it's not required is work with the kodshim. Doesn't that show that you don't need your full strength? You can just put your hands on it, which is not considered doing avodah, and that would be not like Rami Bahama. And the answer is, no, we can say like Rami Bahama that you do need your full strength. In this case, they're telling the women, don't do real smicha, just put your hands on top of the animal or lighten up your hand. Akhu means like lighten up. Hakilu yadechem. Now she says, make your hands light. Don't do so heavily on the animal's head. Do it lightly, so it's not real smicha. It says, Yehochi, loy mepnesha smicha banashim. Then what do you mean? You're saying that we had them do it, even though there's no smicha in women. What do you mean? In that case, this isn't smicha. And typically, the animal smicha klal. It's not smicha at all. So Abba Elazar should be saying that we brought it to the Ezra's nashim, and the women didn't actually do smicha on it. The answer is, you're right. The Braisa, Abba Elazar, was saying two statements. He's saying, Choda, the less of a smicha klal. Number one, what they did was not real smicha anyway, because smicha is b'chol koiche and this wasn't. But oid, and furthermore, today, the reason why they allowed them to do it is to give them nachas ruach. Because anyway, what they did is not real smicha, so it's not a void of a kodshim. So therefore, they didn't mind having them do it and let them feel that somehow they're participating in the korban. So Rabbi Yossi is saying reshus l'noshim mismach. Does he mean they can do full smicha, or does he only mean that they can do just putting their hands on top of the animal's head? It seems from the way we're saying over here, it sounds like Rabbi Yossi is agreeing that if women do it when they're not required to, it would be a void of a kodshim. And then when Rabbi Yehuda said, when the Tanna Kamma had said that b'nai Yisrael semchim, then b'nai Yisrael semchim, it would mean they're not even allowed to do that. Okay, so that's how Tosfos learned in some other places in Shas. So the Meiri understands the Gemara differently, that the Rabbi Yossi would say that it is a mitzvah, therefore you could say they did even full smicha. In that particular case, the Meiri learned, unlike Tosfos, it wasn't a korban that belonged to the women, it was a korban that belonged to their husbands, but still, they allowed them to participate by doing a light form of smicha. But according to the Meiri, if it was their korban, Rabbi Yossi would say they were in fact allowed to do full smicha. The Gemara continues, now we also see from what Rabbi Yechon is saying, Zodin Asurin, that not only you're not allowed to ride on top of an animal or lean on top of an animal on Yavdiv, but even the side of it is also on Yavdiv or on Shabbat. The Isakadat Zodin Mutorin, if you're going to say you're allowed to use the sides of an animal, now there's a machlokas about that point in the Sefer Shabbos. But we can see from Rabbi Yechon's statement clearly that you can't use the sides either. Because if it's allowed, then what's the problem? You can do smicha on the side because the head of the animal is in effect like the side. You don't ride on the head of the animal. So the fact that you can't, so doesn't that demonstrate that even to lean on the side of the animal is also? On the other hand, Rav Ashi says that's not a proof. You could even say that the sides are mutter normally, but called the bahadi gaba, the gaba dummy, but anything on the same level as the back of the animal is considered like the back. And since the animal's head is basically in a straight line with its back, so therefore it's also considered part of its back, and you couldn't do smicha on it. But let's say, for example, to use the actual side of the animal, like the flank of the animal, like to lean against it, or to use a tail or something like that, that shouldn't be mutter on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Not necessarily can you prove that from what we're saying over here. Okay, and the halacha is, in fact, Tosfos points out, the halacha is, Rav Ashi himself holds in the Sugya and Shabbos, that it is also to use the tzodin as well. He's just saying you can't prove it from here. Okay, the Mishnah says, let's start the Mishnah and we'll do some of the Gemara on it, seeing as how today's daf was officially supposed to be daf Yud Zayin. The Mishnah says, Beis Shamaim, Mevi'in Shlomim Ve'ein Semchen Aleihem. Beis Shamaim says, you can bring Shlomim on Yom Tov, because afterward you can eat the Shlomim, but you can't do Smicha on them, because we just said that Shammai himself held you can't, and Beis Shamaim followed him in that. Avaloi Oilus, but Beis Shamaim says, you can't bring Oilus at all on Yom Tov, obviously the Kavanah Sibu, yeah, but we're talking about Oilus that are brought by individuals, not because you could bring them after Yom Tov, and Lachem V'loy L'Gaboya, the Pasuk says, you can do Melacha on Yom Tov, where it's for you, but not where it's for Hashem, not where it's being offered on the Mizbeach. Ubisilol, I mean, Mevi'in, Shlomim V'Oilus, the same kind of Leim, but Silol says, no, you could bring Shlomim and Oilus, and you could do Smicha on them. So in other words, it's a double machlokas. Number one, Beis Hillel holds you can bring the oilus, where Beis Shammai says you can't. Number two, we said in the previous Mishnah that Shammai, and now we're saying Beis Shammai, said you can't do smicha even on the shlomim, on Yom Tov, and Beis Hillel is saying that you can. So there's a long sugya about this in Beitza. Here, Tosfos points out, because the Mishnah is really being just brought incidentally, over there, because we're talking about the dinim of Chagiga, but the main dinim of Malacha and Yom Tov are dealt with in Masechta Beitza. Therefore, you have a long sugi over there that discusses the ins and outs of Beis Shammai's opinion. Here, we're going to focus more on the fact that here we're not going to focus on that part of the Mishnah. We're going to focus on the next part of the Mishnah, which is going to talk about what we do with Shavuos. Where Shavuos, after all, is only one day. So the Mishnah continues. By the way, the Alter Rebbe mentions in Shulchan Aruch that even though the halacha is like Beis Hillel, as it usually is, nevertheless, in this regard, mostly Beis Hillel and most of the Jewish people followed Beis Shammai, and therefore, as we're going to say in the continuation of the Mishnah, that mostly they did not bring the korbanos on Yom Tov, but rather after Yom Tov. There's a sicha in Chelek Chav Ches, where the Rebbe analyzes where the Alter Rebbe gets it from and why Beis Hillel did that. And in particular, the Rebbe discusses the idea, since we're going to talk over here about the Mishnah, about Yom Tvoyach, the day after Shavuos, which in Eretz Yisrael, of course, the day after Shavuos, Ishrachag, is Zayin Sivan, not like for us in Chutz La'aretz, where it's Ches Sivan. Zayin Sivan has a particular mila in that there's an opinion that the Torah was given on that day, and therefore this, and that host of Moshe, Yom HaMidaitos, and therefore by Shavuos, more than any other Yom Tov, Beis Hillel, practically speaking, even though they held you could bring the korbanos on Yom Tov, in practice they would mostly bring them after Yom Tov. And therefore, it's Alter Rebbe explains in Shulchan Aruch, therefore, we have the minhag that we don't say tachnun during the few days after Shavuos, the Yemei Tashlumin, as we're going to talk about in the Gemara, but that's a minhag. But me'ikir adin, you're not allowed to, on Ishruchag, because that was Yom Tavoyach, as the Mishnah is going to say, that was the day when they brought most of the korbanos that people would have had to bring on Shavuos itself. So the Mishnah continues, Atzeres Shechalis the Erev Shabbos, if Shavuos comes out on Erev Shabbos, Beis Shammai and Yom Tzvoyach Achar Shabbos. So Beis Shammai says you can't bring the Korbanos on Shavuos itself. Therefore, the day of Shechtim, the Korbanos, is going to be after Shavuos. It's going to be on Zion Sivan. Rashi holds that we're talking about the Oilos, of course, he said, as well as the Korbanos Chagiga. Tosfos says maybe the Chagigas you could bring on Yom Tov. After all, according to the Shammai, you're allowed to bring Shlomim on Yom Tov, we just said. So Tosfos discusses maybe the Shammai would say that, or may, does it mean that the Shammai would say that you could bring the Chagigas on Yom Tov, or maybe they're only talking about the Shammai Simcha, the Korbanos that you have to bring in order to eat meat of a Korban and be Mesameach on Yom Tov, as we learned before. Maybe those are the only ones the Shammai is saying you can bring on Yom Tov. Maybe they would say the Chagigah also you have to bring after Yom Tov. Anyway, so they're saying Yom Tvoyach, the day of Shechting, these korbanos that you couldn't bring on Yom Tov is the day after Yom Tov. I skipped a line in the Mishnah. Atzeres Shechali is the Erev Shabbos. So if Atzeres of Shavuos comes out on Erev Shabbos, Beshama Omen Yom Tvoyach Achar Shabbos. So Beshama says the Yom Tvoyach is going to be the day after Shabbos. So you can't bring them on Erev Yom Tov itself, Yom Tov, and Beshama says you can't bring them on Yom Tov. You can't bring them on Shabbos, obviously. Therefore, by elimination, the only thing you can do is bring them on Sunday. Whereas Basil says not, you could bring them on Friday, which was Yom Tov. Now both the Shammai and Basil agree, Shem Chol Olias B'Shabbos, that if Shavuos comes out on Shabbos itself, nowadays it can't, but in those times it could, Shem Tzvayach Achar Shabbos, they both agree that Yom Tzvayach is after Shabbos, because of course you can't bring private Korbanos on Shabbos. And the Mishnah continues, Ein Kohen Gadol V'Slavish V'Kelav, on that day, if they'd have the Yom Tzvayach on Sunday, the Kohen Gadol does not wear his special clothes. Rashi says it means in general, the Kohen Gadol does not wear Yom Tov clothes or Shabbos clothes on that day, for reasons that we're going to talk about in a minute. Tosfos says it doesn't mean that. It means the Kohen Gadol does not wear his Bigdei Kohuna. Usually on Yom Tov, like obviously we know the only time the Kohen Gadol has to do the Avodah is Yom Kippur. Nevertheless, practically speaking, on Yom Tov, usually the Kohen Gadol would make an appearance and do the Avodah wearing his Bigdei Kohuna, his eight clothes, but in this particular case, when Yom Tzvayah is on Sunday, he would not do that. And Umutorin behest with the Tainis, and furthermore, on that day, even though it's Yom Tzvayah, you're allowed to fast, and you're allowed to make a stadium, and you're allowed to fast. Shaloi l'kayim, divra omen, because we doubtful, do not want to uphold the words of those who say, the Zukim who say, Atzeres, Achar Shabbos, that Shavuos is always Sunday, and if we see, like this, they're bringing all the Korbanos on Sunday. So if we also have the Kohen Gadol who's wearing special Yom Tov Dikur clothes, or his eight clothes, as Tosfos says, and that we're not doing Hesped B'Tainis, they're going to say, hey, look at that, everybody agrees that Atzeres is supposed to be on Sunday, that Shavuos is supposed to be on Sunday, rather than on Vav Sivan, or on the 50th day of Sfira, like it's supposed to be. So therefore, B'davka, we do not like that in order to demonstrate that it's not Yom Tov. So the most total, Amr of Elazar, Amr of Oshia, Minayim La'atzeres Shiyeshla Tashlumin Kol Shiva. How do we know that Shavuot, you have Tashlumin, you can bring the Korbanos throughout the 7 days, throughout the 6 days after it, in other words? We learned previously in the first parak that you can bring the Korbanos throughout Pesach and throughout Sukkot. How do we know the same thing applies to Shavuot? Shenema b'chag ha-matzis, b'chag ha-shavuot, b'chag ha-sukkot. Because the pasuk puts them all together in one pasuk. Makish chag ha-shavuot, b'chag ha-matzis. So therefore, it makes a hekish between Shavuot and Pesach. Ma chag ha-matzis yesh tashlumin kol shiva. Just like chag ha-matzis has tashlumin the entire 7 days, as we learned before, because we said because Pesach is 7 days long, and we learned in the first parak that since it says Chagosim Chag LaHashem Shivat Yomim, then it means you have the entire 7 days to bring it. So the same thing applies to Shavuos. You might ask the Imam Makish L'Chag HaSukkos. So why not say that the Hekesh is with Sukkos? Ma Sukkos Ma Chag HaSukkos Yesh LaHashem Kol Shmoina Av Chag HaShavuos Yesh LaHashem Kol Shmoina. That just like Sukkos, you have 8 days because we learned in the first parak you have Shmini Atzeres as well. Maybe Chag HaShavuos you should have one extra day. And the answer is no, Shmini, Ragabuk Ne'atmeri. No, because the 8th day, Shmini Atzeres, is a separate Yom Tov of its own. It's not part of Shavuos. So therefore, we can't say that when we're learning from Shavuos, that we're learning from Sukkot to Shavuos, that we should also learn from Shmini Atzeres. Like Mar says, Eimu Da'avi Shmini, Ragabuk Ne'atmeri. You know what? When do we say that Shmini is Ragabuk Ne'atmeri? Hanimila, the Inin Pazar Kashav, is only as far as the 6 things where the acronym is Pazar Kashav. We learned them most recently in Tainus. Where you have, so pay stands for pious, there's a separate, during the 7 days of Sukkot, They don't need a pious to determine which mishmaris bring which korbanos, because they have a rotation over there, because there's many korbanos. But on Shmini Atzeres, you only have 10 korbanos tibur, then you have 24 mishmaris, so that's going to make a pious to determine who brings what. Zion stands for Zman, namely that we say separate shechionu on that day. Reish stands for regel. Rashi says it means it's called a regel by itself. It's not called sukkahs. In davening, we call it Shmini Atzeres HaChagazeh. Kuf stands for korban. The korban of Shmini Atzeres is not in the same sequence as the ones from the previous days of sukkahs. It's a separate kind of korban, like the kind that you bring on other Yom Tovim, parach or ayalach, etc. Unlike the rest of the days of sukkahs, where you're bringing 14 sheep and a varying number of parim and so on and so forth. That's cool. Shin is shear, which means that you have a separate shear of Shmini Atzeres. That's nothing to do the topics of the shiras of Sukkot. We learned previously in the Sefer, throughout Yom Tov Sukkot, the shir shoyim every day. We learned from the Sefer Sukkah has to do with Matnas Aniyim, has to do with making sure to give the Matnas Aniyim that, because this is the time of year when you're bringing in your produce from the field, and therefore be careful to give the Matnas Aniyim and not steal it from them. Shmini Atzeres, on the other hand, has a korban of its own, a shear of its own, that has nothing to do with that theme. And Beis stands for bracha, meaning that they would give the king a bracha as a zecher of Shlomo HaMelech by the Chanukah Tabayis, because as we learned in the first parak of Or Masechta, or rather, as we learned in the first parak of Moed Katan, they had the Chanukah Tabayis for 7 days, then they had the 7 days of Sukkot, and then on Shmini Atzeres, they gave the king a bracha and left. Tosfos disagrees over here and in some other places in Shas on a couple of these things. Regel b'fnei atzmo includes the idea that regel b'fnei atzmo means that you need lino, you have to stay over in your shalayim the night after you bring your korbanos. Tosfos Rashi elsewhere explains it means you don't sit in the sukkah. Rabbi Hananel has an explanation that it means that as we learned in Moed Katan, that it cancels shloshim. Sheet of the Theatmoy Tosfa says means throughout the rest of Sukkot they would only do a half a capital at a time. Here they do a complete capital. Bracha of the Theatmoy Tosfa says means that we say Shmini Atzeres HaChagazeh, which is what Rashi said was regal. Anyway, the point is you have these things in which you have these factors in which Shmini Atzeres is considered a korban of its own. Avala in Tashlumin, but when it comes to Tashlumin of Korbanos, Tashlumin derishinu. We know that Shmini Atzeres is Tashlumin of the first day. It's not, as we learned in the first parak of Or Masechta. Mishle chag v'yom tov rishon shel chag, chogeg es kol haregel. If you didn't bring the korban chagigah on the first day of Yom Tov, you can bring it any time during the Yom Tov, v'yom tov acharon, and the last day, Shmini Atzeres. So why shouldn't we compare Shavuos to Sukkot and say that you have 8 days rather than 7? And the answer is, tafastim, a little bit like tafastim, if you try to grab too much, you don't grab anything. Tafastim more, tafastim. But if you grab a little bit, then you have. In other words, if you have to compare 7 days versus the 8, take 7, because for sure it includes 7. You can't necessarily show that it should include 8. If you want to show that it's 8, you have to be able to prove it. As opposed to 7, no matter what, 8 includes 7. So the Gemara asks, Elo l'may hil sakas v'rachmano l'chagat sukkot. Well then, why does the Torah mention sukkot in this pasuk? We know already of the Shalosh Regalim, they mentioned the sukkot before. The fact that it puts them all in one pasuk is meant for a hekesh. If sukkot is not part of a hekesh, what is it doing over there? The answer is, akusha l'chagat matzis. The answer is, we're making a hekesh between chagat matzis, Pesach, and chagat sukkot, namely, ma chagat matzis, tolun lina. Just like when you come to Yerushalayim to bring your korbanos for Pesach, you have to stay overnight on Motzei Yom Tov. You don't leave directly that night. You wait until the next day. After Chagas Sukkot, Torah and Lina, the same way when you come to bring your korbanos for Sukkot, you have to stay overnight. And V'hosem Menalon, and in turn by Pesach itself, where do we know you have to do that? Yichtiv Ufanisa Baboker V'alach Deloy Alach, because the pasuk says that you turn around in the morning, which is Chalamoyed, and you go back to your houses, to your tents, to your houses. So in other words, we see that you can't leave on that night. Now Rashi points out, it can't mean Baboyker, it can't mean the morning of Yom Tov, because Yom Tov you can't travel anyway, therefore necessarily it means the morning of Chalamoyed. Tosfos disagrees and says, look, I mean, you don't necessarily have Tchumen Min HaTorah. Rabbi Akiva holds that Tchumen Min HaTorah, the Chachamim disagree, but fine, so the point is that it means you don't leave that night, the point is it means you leave the next day. Tosfos over here discusses maybe there is a deraisa, a tchum of 12 milin. In some other places, Rashi and Tosfos discuss maybe what you can do is conceivably you could have left to a place within the Tchum during Yom Tov, and then after Yom Tov, you continue traveling the rest of the way home, and the Pasuk is telling you don't do that. The bottom line is that we see that Pesach, we need Lina, and therefore in turn, we learn from that to Sukkot, that Sukkot also requires Lina. And so it applies to all three Yom Tov. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, talking about how that point about Shavuos, having Tashlumin, how that relates back to our Mishnah. One thing worth mentioning, by the way, that Eber pointed out in a Sicha once, why Taka does the Torah do it that way? Why doesn't it tell us Tashlumin of Shavuos straight out? And the reason is because Shavuos is connected with the Torah, which is higher than the world, and therefore that's why it's not 7 days. It doesn't need to be the 7 days of creation like the other ones. But we learn it from Pesach and Sukkot, which represent the Avodah of the Tzaddik and the Baal Tshuva, respectively, that therefore we learn from them to Shavuos. In other words, we have Torah Shabbat Peh, rather than learning from Torah Shabbat Saba, the year that it usually does, learns from the Avodah of the Tzaddik and the Baal Tshuva, how it should be with Torah, how it should be with Shavuos, which is all about the Torah.
Okay, 6:45 tomorrow. Yeah.